Our Father, we just praise you for today. We praise you that we can come together, joint heirs in the blood of Christ, in fellowship as brothers and sisters. We thank you for your truth. We thank you that it is perfect, that it is complete, and that you've given it to us so that we might study it, that we might apply it and use it in our life. I pray, Lord, as we open your word this morning, that you might speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19 and going through verse 21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As we started our study on these verses last week, we studied what Christ is teaching against. Christ is teaching against the obsession of wealth. He's teaching against valuing the temporary over the eternal. And he's also teaching against poor stewardship. But Christ is also teaching for something. And as you look at this teaching, it reminds me of the overall message of living for Christ. The world looks at Christianity as just a life of self-denial. You just give up something and you do not get anything in return. But as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know better than that, don't we? We know that Christ brings joy, and the more that we give up, the more joy and peace we receive. And this coincides with his teaching here, because if you look at verse 19, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. But look at verse 20. It says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't lay up on earth, but lay up in heaven. Don't treasure things here on earth, but treasure things in heaven. And this leads us to where we'll spend the balance of our time this morning, talking about laying up in heaven. Now, if you think about it, if you're going to lay up in heaven, it means that you believe that you're going to have access to heaven. You wouldn't deposit something in a bank where you didn't have withdrawal rights. Christ is implicating here that we have access, and the only way that we can have heavenly access is through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's the important part, verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I love that old gospel song, I've got a reservation to walk on the streets of gold. When you think about laying up and Christ saying lay up in heaven, and then you read in 1 Peter that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, that it is reserved for us, it should encourage us to put our focus on the things that are eternal and everlasting. Remember when you were a kid and you said, boy, I could just get this toy. You know, I want this toy so bad. Then you get the toy, and then after a while, the toy's kind of lost glimmer. It's not exciting. Then the toy breaks. Name me something in your life right now in the material where that's not true. Every single thing that we have, every single thing that we possess goes away, breaks, and loses its glimmer. Shiny cars fade, bank accounts dwindle, clothes wear out, things go out of style. All the things that the world is chasing after fades away or breaks. Not so with God. We have an inheritance that doesn't fade away. It's reserved for us. And Christ is telling us to lay up treasure in heaven. So if He's telling us to lay up treasure in heaven, what is it? I mean, just lay up treasure in heaven. Well, what's treasure? Is it money? Is it gold? He says that He's going to prepare a place for us. Is it a mansion? Is that what it is? Is that what Christ is telling us to lay up? Well, it's not any of it. See, the treasure that He is telling us to lay up is our relationship with Him. And I want to use several verses to make that point. Turn with me to Genesis 15. Genesis 15, verse 1, God tells Abram in a vision. He says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. God is our treasure. Another verse along that same line is in Psalm 16, verse 1. It says, "Preserve me, O God, for in You I put my trust. O my soul, You have said to the Lord, You are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from You. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips." In verse 5 it says, "O Lord, You are the portion of my inheritance in my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance." See, David knew something that we should all know, that our inheritance, what we value in life, should most and foremost be our relationship with God. He is our treasure. In the New Testament, we can look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ," if you're a believer, and Paul gives some great advice here in relationship to these verses in Matthew chapter 6. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Now, I want to talk about that just for one quick minute. Verse 1, if you are raised with Christ, in other words, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should be seeking those things above. It says in verse 2, set your mind on things above. In other words, your focus should be on the kingdom of God. You should be heavenly minded as you live your life. And in verse 3, when you really think about it, it says, for you died. That's what Christianity is all about, right? We die. Our life is associated with the resurrected Lord. Now, if you're dead, are you getting to pick the agenda, or is it God? Dead men don't decide what's going to happen. It's only the living. When you think about it, we're alive in Christ, we're dead to sin. If we've died, it says our life is hidden with Christ in God. Now that has a lot of great meaning, that our life is hidden with Christ. One of those meanings is that the world looks at us, or should look at us, and say, I just don't get it. If we're living how we should as a Christian, the world should look at us and say, I don't get it. I don't get why you're giving those things up. I don't get why you focus on the priorities that you're living by, because our life is hidden. The world can't see it. It also points to the fact that our life cannot find joy in the external. It's only when we focus our life on Christ that our life is hidden in Christ. See, we could waste our life in the search of material pleasure and gain and entertainment. And unfortunately, there are believers who have yet to figure out that the only way that they're going to get peace and contentment is by trusting more in Christ. Laying up treasure in heaven is surrendering to Christ. Now, the world will tell you it's a waste of time, that you're wasting your time, that it doesn't matter, that it's hopeless, that you should be living for the day. You should pursue materialism, pleasure, entertainment, leisure. But look at verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, is that written in the present tense? It is, isn't it? We should all be able to say that. Christ is our life. Now, we as parents can say that kids are our life. We've said that. And I look forward to the day when I can have grandkids, and grandkids are a huge part of life. But first and foremost, Christ should be our life. And it says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Everything makes sense then. Because think about it. You're in heaven. Everything in this earth is gone. Everything that's important in this life, or is supposed to be important, is gone. It's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you appear with Him in glory, it all makes sense. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, starting in verse 26. It says, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. Then they said to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you may believe in Him whom He sent. Therefore they said to Him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of heaven is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Christ satisfies. I want you to think back in your life when you've desired something that you thought that would give you happiness. Probably already broke or sold. And it didn't do the job, did it? It will never do the job. You will not find peace or contentment in the things of this world. Peace and contentment only come through serving God. When you think about Jesus Christ saying, I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Complete satisfaction. Complete satisfaction. I read a book once by the author of the founder of Service Master. Wrote a great book on being a Christian businessman. And he had this phrase in the book that I really found convicting. He said, if you're not living it, you don't believe it. If you're not living it, you don't believe it. And when you think about what Jesus Christ is saying, he said, if you pursue me, if you give me your life, you'll never hunger or you'll never thirst. It's true, isn't it? We shouldn't take our eyes off of the cross. We shouldn't take our eyes off of Jesus Christ. We should focus on him. He should be our desire. We should long for Christ because he said it, and it is true. My friend, if it's not true, then we have no hope. We're coming up on Resurrection Sunday, and Resurrection Sunday is filled in hope, and not only is it filled in hope that he paid our sin debt, but it's filled in hope that all of his words are true, and they're valid. And we should be living our life that way. Look in Revelation chapter 21. It says, Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, and prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. His words are true. He is the bread of life. He will satisfy. There's that great hymn that talks about Jesus satisfying, and the writer of the hymn said all his life he had been searching in the dry husk were surrounding him. In other words, he recognized that everything else that he had pursued in life was just a waste. Only Christ satisfies. So if Christ is our treasure, how then do we lay up? It's a valid question, isn't it? It says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So if Christ is the treasure, then how do we lay up? What's he talking about? Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. It reads, Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." This is such a wonderful illustration. Martha was concerned about the busyness of the day. I got all this stuff to do. And Jesus, tell my sister to help me. But Jesus said, "Your sister's part will not be taken away from her." Why was that? She was laying up. She was laying up. That was her treasure. That was her treasure in heaven. How many times have we been in Martha's place? I got all these things to do. And when I get all the things to do, then I'll serve God. When I get so much money, then I'll serve God. When I have time, then I will serve God. Let me tell you something, my friends. You're never, ever, ever, ever going to have enough time to serve God. That's why life, living for Jesus, is called a sacrifice. Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Where's your mind? Where's your heart? What are you set on? Now, you could look at this as, well, I'm going to do all of this work for God right now. I'm going to go out right now and I'm going to do all this work for God, and I'm not going to have any joy or any contentment until I get to heaven, and then I'm going to have this big payday. Then, of course, naturally, in the human flesh, you would sit there and go, is it worth it? Is it worth it? See, it doesn't work that way. Because as you serve, and we're all called to serve in ministry, and as you serve and as you grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul says, is that you have a peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, I surrendered to preach in college. And then I decided that I didn't want to do it. It didn't fit my parameters. Now, there was a whole lot of other things that was involved about that. Little did I know Christ was calling me to be a minister. But then I got in the business world and I didn't want to do it. Other things were more important. Just being brutally honest. Other things were more important. And I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it for years. Now, you may be saying, well, God's not calling me to preach. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God has called you for something. You have been given a gift. We've got lots of things that need to be done here at the church and lots of ways for you to worship and be faithful and obedient. And I'm telling you right now that I fought my call for years and years and years, and then finally I surrendered. And that word was very true in my case. I surrendered because I didn't want to do it. And then when I did surrender, and as I have been in the pulpit now for 16 years, you couldn't drag me out of this church. I have so much joy in doing what God has called me to do. I look at the relationships that I've had over the last 16 years through serving in ministry. I look and see how God has acted and performed in this church. It's been an absolute joy. God gives you more than what you give. It's true. He is the bread of life. But too many times, lay people limit the ability to receive the contentment and wonderful experience to God to some special event.
Why limit yourself? Jesus Christ says He is the bread. And that you will never hunger or thirst. In other words, as you live your life sacrificially every single day for the Lord Jesus Christ, you will get peace and joy. You will lay up treasure for heaven. Because the only thing that lasts, is your relationship with Him. So why not develop that relationship today? Because no one knows when our soul is going to be required. Will you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you a simple question based on our Romans 8 scripture. It says, set your mind on the things above. Set your mind on the Spirit. Where's your mind at? Where's your heart at? Are you a faithful follower of Christ? Are you sacrificially living for Christ? Are you obedient to His commands? Are you faithful in your worship? Are you faithful in your Bible reading? Are you faithful in your prayer? Are you faithful in a ministry? Jesus Christ said He is the bread of life, that you'll never hunger or you'll never thirst. It's only through Him. Contentment, peace, joy, happiness, it's only through Him. If you got your grip too much on this world, it's time to turn loose. Recommit your life to Christ. Recommit your life to being faithful. Just as David prayed, restore the joy of your salvation. Our Father, I just thank You, Lord, that You've given us life. I pray that we don't take our life for granted, our relationship with You for granted. I pray, Lord, that we might have joy in our salvation. I pray that we might lay up treasures in heaven. I pray that we might be kingdom-minded. I just pray, Lord, that we might all have a zeal for You. I pray, Lord, that we might surrender more and more to You, knowing that it's the only thing that lasts. I pray if there's someone here who needs to give their life to You, that they do so today. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you this morning? Is He speaking to you?